Yours to Protect, brought to you by Southeast Radio, the IBI, and funded by Commission na Mban with the television licence fee.
Welcome to this episode of Ours to Protect. I'm Ella, I'm 17, and I will be taking you through this series on Southeast Radio. On today's show, we're exploring greener travel and find out how one school in Gorey worked on an amazing project this year, with aspirations to switch to cleaner ways of transport. And they will tell us how making better choices when we travel can help protect the air we breathe and reduce harmful emissions. In today's episode, we're also looking at the future. We're shining the spotlight on some incredible future climate leaders, young people right here in our communities who are stepping up, speaking out and taking action to tackle climate change. So, if you've ever wondered what it's like to be a climate leader, or you're curious about the future of travel and how it could help save our planet, you're in the right place. This series is all about hearing children's voices and their perspective. So this episode features young people from School Mura Horswood, Screen National School, Crea College in Gorey, St Iberius National School and Crossa Beg National School. We're going to start today's episode with a visit to Crea College in Gorey. A group of transition year students from the school, known as Get Psyched, decided to take action to promote sustainable travel as part of the Young Social Innovators competition. The nationwide initiative empowers young people to address social issues and create real change in their communities. Concerned by the increasing traffic congestion and pollution levels in the town, the students set out to encourage more people to choose cycling and walking over driving. We started by asking the students about what Get Psyched was.
So we're a group of around 21 students, and our main aim is to promote cycling and discourage the unnecessary use of cars in our community. We looked to our school community, our local community in Gorey, and we saw how rampant the use of cars was, despite the infrastructure that was put in place, you know, the effort that had been made, but it wasn't being used. And we were trying to change driver mentality. We've done many actions to try and make this in terms of in our school community, in our outward community, politically. We've tried our very best. It's difficult too when people are so used to their old mentality and what they do, but our main aim is just to get people out there, because we understand a lot of people commute to work. They have to drive to get there. A lot of people commute to Dublin, but when you're a school student, you don't. A lot of people live within 5-10 minutes to their school, which is walking distance. I mean, there's lots of people who can't, but there are a lot of people who do but choose not to.
So how did they come up with the name?
It kind of came to us as we decided on the project focus, because we started by doing like an A to Z of issues, and then we looked at our area's issues. And once we decided on cycling, we knew that we wanted something that was like snappy and included cycling. So we spent a bit of time like all back, bouncing back and forth. And we were originally going to go with pedal power, but then somebody in the group said Get Psyched, and it just clicked better and it was catchier, and it just represented us being excited about cycling. So we picked that over pedal power.
That's great.
I think it was our Julia and Caitlin, who came up with it. So they were the ones who could take credit.
Next up, we asked the students why they decided to focus on sustainable travel.
So we surveyed our school at the start. We saw cycle lanes, traffic, and Gorey. And we surveyed our school, and we found that 29% of our school population, which we surveyed, lived within 0 to 5 kilometres of the school. 38% drive and 41% get the bus, but almost out of the 300 people that we surveyed, only 2 people cycled. When we asked people if they owned a bike, 65% of the survey said they did. However, when we asked how often they used it, they only said 4% said daily and 40% said never. So these people have the ability to, but they don't have the motivation to. So we wanted to push it in the most fun, inclusive, understanding way possible. And it was a major problem for our school. You know, if you drive up our school way just an hour before school, our very long cycle lanes that are perfect, nothing's wrong with them, are filled with cars. They're parking spaces instead of cycle lanes. So we saw that, and it's being removed as a possibility. It's not safe for cyclists to cycle to school because there's people parked on the cycle lanes. And there's people driving, there's so much chaos. If that's removed, if people are just collecting their children or just not parking there in the first place, it becomes a possibility and has encouragement for our students.
So tell us about the different tasks and events you did with this project.
Yeah, so at the beginning of the year, we had a trip to the Ploughing Championship. So we took advantage of that by interviewing a lot of people at the Ploughing. and most of them said that they took the bus because they were in quite rural areas, but almost no one said that they rode a bike. So that contributed to us choosing it. And when we first wanted to do an initiative, like to get people on their bikes, we decided on a Scare Before School event. Mm. So we rewarded people who wanted to cycle with like sweets. So we just gave them sweets as they were going by. We dressed up, and on that same day we did a bake sale to raise funds for Cycle Against Suicide, a charity that we've worked closely with, and to raise a bit of money for us as well. So we raised €700, and that was our first fundraising event. And then we a local TD called Malcolm Byrne came into our school, and we were talking to him about our idea of a Cycle to School scheme, which is similar to the Cycle to Work scheme, except it would apply more closely to school kids, because like a lot of, as we were saying, a lot of people commute to work and it's a far distance, but if you're close to your school life, it would be a lot more applicable to school kids to get a bike and get that grant. So we wanted to try and push that. And we have done a lot of things. We've made a pledge for our school to reduce their carbon footprint. So out in the GP, there's two big feet, and they have a lot of people's signatures on it. They might not be up now, but they were up for a large part of the year. Brilliant. And we just wanted to push people to like actually put their name down that they were going to cycle. And we did a RSA workshop. So we went into a school and we just told them about that. Mm-hmm. We have done a Strava challenge where people walked or cycled to school, and they got rewarded for it, because our whole idea for this was we wanted to reward people with incentives to cycle, mm-hmm. instead of just being told to do it, because we don't think a lot of people would listen to that. But if they have an actual reason to cycle, they will be more inclined to do it. So that Strava challenge went on for a good while, and at the end of it we had a Cycle to Cinema trip for the winners, and they got to go to the cinema. We watched a movie, and we cycled, a large group cycled there, a large group walked, and that was a good success. Then we obviously did the YSI Den, and we did the Speak Out, and we did well in that. And we are handing out parking tickets, but they're not real parking tickets, they're notices for a walk to school that we had today.
Okay.
So a lot of bikes actually turned up, a lot more than we've seen on any other day. So it's been a success. And we just put little notices on the cars that told them about what we're doing and why we're doing it, and gave them a little bit of information about it.
Mm-hmm.
So we've actually, like, our year has been full of events that we've been holding. We obviously went on Southeast Radio, that was great. We wanted to get our like project out there, and that was a great way of doing it. Like, we were in the newspapers as well, so we thought that would be great to get on the radio and actually talk about it to a wider audience than just our local area.
The students also decided to bring this up to a political level, and they told us what that entailed.
So we decided to take our project to a political level because we realised that to really spread our messaging, you know, deliver change, we needed to contact our local TDs, Malcolm Byrne, Fianna Fáil and Brian Brennan, Fine Gael. When we discussed the issues related to our project, such as the lack of cycling infrastructure, public health, environmental concerns and certain drivers' attitudes towards cycling, both TDs were very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
After hearing what we had already accomplished, both TDs had agreed that more cycling was needed in our area, and they committed to helping us. Malcolm Byrne supported us with our idea, with our Cycle to School scheme, and Brian Brennan helped us gain media coverage, including the interview with Alan Corcoran and an article in our local newspaper, The Gory Guardian. We didn't just stop at local TDs, we went even further and raised the issue with Mary Lou MacDonald, the leader of the opposition, current Sinn Féin leader, during her visit to our school. Mary Lou was accompanied by Fionn Tan O'Sullivan, our local Sinn Féin TD. She praised us for our work and gave us encouraging advice on how to really get our message out there and really, you know, make people aware. And throughout all these political engagements, they were really good for listening to us.
Not only have the students been educated, but they are doing the educating themselves. So they told us about that.
Well, we've been spreading information about our project and our issue through the school community since we started in September. And we have social media accounts on TikTok and Instagram where we post to bring awareness about our issue and the work that we've been doing throughout the year to fight it.
Brilliant.
And on top of that, we realised that we couldn't promote cycling without promoting like cycling safety and making sure people staying safe.
Mm-hmm.
So we prepared a presentation and visited a primary school in our area, and we taught the students how to cycle safely and properly and about dangerous cycling practices. We brought high-vis vests and gems and stickers for the students to decorate them, and it was a really good experience for us and them because we were able to teach them about like how to stay safe and encourage them to wear their high-vis vests through like a fun activity instead of just telling them to do it. At the start, we did the plough and interviews, and after the interviews, we spoke to all the people about the sustainability of bikes and like just how many issues overusing the cars can create. And just a few days ago, we made our fake parking tickets and we put them on the cars to spread the information about our project and cycling and sustainability to the parents and that community rather than just inside the school.
So what is the Strava Challenge and how is an app involved?
Yeah, so again, we just wanted to give a reason to cycle. So the Strava Challenge was good because every month there'd be a small prize at the end of it. Mm-hmm. So the top 5 cyclists of every month got a reward, but the overarching prize of it was a cycle to cinema trip. So students were able to go out for a few hours and go to the cinema on a school day, and we watched a movie. It was a good, like, it was a good success. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were cycling. Mm-hmm. And then we, at the beginning, there was an app idea, so we wanted to make this idea of giving rewards easier. So we wanted to partner with businesses around the town to give small little discounts for cycling. So if you'd cycled however many kilometers, if it was 5 kilometers, you'd get a point, and 10 points could be used for a little discount in our local shops.
Oh, very good.
So we went around handing out letters about this, and it was something like 40 businesses said yes to it and only one said no. So it was a good success. A lot of people did seem to like it. Mm-hmm. And we partnered with Civic Dollars, Stephen McPeak, I think. He gave us a bit of mentoring from the YSI Den. So that was, we got to choose money and mentoring from the YSI Den. Mm-hmm. And he helped us better understand how to develop an app and what the costs of it would be. Mm-hmm. So it really just showed us how to actually develop an app and what the inner makings of it are. And it might not be very realistic for us this year, mm-hmm. but if it was a step up project or anything like that, it would be very accessible for future years because we have so much information about it. Mm-hmm. So our app just basically wants to promote cycling while giving small little discounts as an incentive.
The students have also been rewarded for their hard work so far, and they told us about that.
We went to an awards ceremony in the Aviva Stadium this week. It was a really great experience for all of us. There was games and food and music, and it was just a great atmosphere. We were presented with the Sustainability for Our Planet Award, which recognises the projects that champion the sustainable use of natural resources and promote access to clean, affordable energy. And we received a trophy and a certificate for our achievement. And earlier in the year, we featured in the Gore Guardian and the Irish Independent for recognising our hard work through the year.
Next, we asked the students if they felt young people have a role to play in solving environmental issues related to travel.
Yes, because, you know, we as students, and not just students, young people, have the opportunity to shape the future. We understand that many adults rely on cars for daily life and may not have the same flexibility to make these changes. But however, despite this, some adults still make unnecessary journeys that could be avoided. As children, we are doing everything we can because we are the future and we are the change. We cannot sit by and watch our future be ruined. If we take the first steps towards change, we will begin to see the change that is needed.
Finally, what message would they give young people and adults to encourage more eco-friendly travel practices?
Well, when you think about it realistically, there's no way that all cars are going to be run off the road. But just taking the small steps towards healthier and more sustainable living, in that you don't necessarily need to drive 5 minutes down the road to get something, or you don't need to drive around for ages to do something. You have legs and they work, and it's good for you and it's good for everyone to go out and exercise. And just one person doing that can change other people's mentality, because it's been so normalized that everyone will go out and they'll get in their car even when they're going 5 minutes down the road because they're too tired or it's raining or they're too cold or they don't want to do this and whatever. You can come up with however many excuses you want. It's still in reality affecting your life, your children's lives, your grandchildren's lives. And you may not think that your actions currently are making a big difference, but they are. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we can't completely get rid of it. It's just the way society is. But taking small steps and being more concerned and aware of what you're doing, and also just getting psyched.
Staying with greener travel, up next we chat to Aoife O'Grady, head of Zero Emission Vehicles Ireland. This is a dedicated office charged with supporting consumers, the public sector and businesses to continue to make the switch to zero emission vehicles. We began by chatting to Aoife about the concerns about the ongoing issues surrounding the number of EV chargers across the country.
Yeah, I think it has been a concern. And part of that is, you know, the first EVs that were sold in Ireland 10 years ago, they were fantastic innovations at the time, but most of them probably could only do 150 to 200 kilometres. And that kind of perception and memory is stuck in the minds. But the new cars now, like a lot of those ones, if you buy a new EV, you'll get upwards of 300 to 400 kilometres on a single charge. Most people will never drive that in a day. But if people have off-street parking at home, and I know maybe a lot of people in Wexford town won't, but in the suburbs and like out of town they will, if you've off-street parking, you can put in a charger there, you can have your vehicle charged every morning with 400 kilometres. That'll sort you out for the day.
Up next, Aoife looks at the advancements in EV batteries and how technology is improving all the time when it comes to batteries in EVs.
That battery is what's used in smartphones, in all computers and electronics, and we never kind of hear about the same concerns being raised around computers and electronics. So it's the same production system. Now, having said that, I think most of the car brands are aware of the need to improve their sustainability, and we're seeing new improvements in battery technology coming on, and better batteries with fewer rare earth minerals will be being developed in the coming years. But the one thing I would say is, for the environment, an EV, if you need to drive, most people, you know, a lot of journeys we can walk and cycle or use public transport, but if you need to drive, an EV will take out carbon emissions, but it'll also improve, there's no air quality emissions, so people driving around towns and there's sulfur and NOx, nitrogen dioxide, coming out of their vehicles, and that like has huge human health impacts on asthma. An EV takes out all of that. So if you need to drive at the moment, an EV is going to be the best car you can drive for the environment, for your health and for your local area.
Up next, Aoife gives us some tips as to what to look out for if purchasing an EV.
Work out what range the battery has. Work out if your home is suitable for home charging. And then it's really, does the EV fit into your life? Now, there'll be a few people who have very long distance commutes on a regular basis and it won't work for them. But I'd say for 80-90% of the population, if with the new EVs that are on the market now, they will suit them perfectly.
And the importance of choosing the right mode of transport for every trip.
What we're all about is choosing the right approach of transport for every trip. So some trips you need to drive. If you need to drive, go electric. If you can walk, cycle or use public transport, do that as well.
And finally, Aoife tells us where people can find more information.
We're at www.zevi.gov.ie.
Now back to the classroom. And next we asked various other students from schools across Wexford about greener travel and what are some of the ways to travel that are better for the environment.
You can travel to eco-friendly locations or take the train. When you travel by train, it is the most ecological friendly option aside from walking or cycling, as they emit 55 to 75% less carbon emissions. The most effective way to do this is to reduce the distance travelled and to travel in a way that burns less or even better, no fossil fuels.
You could take the bus because it's just handier, because like you can fit a lot of people in one bus, then how many cars would fit that many people, so it'd be less emissions.
You can use like one car, or if you're going the same way as somebody, or like bikes and walking buses and...
You could walk, cycle, or get a train.
If you're going to like training or watching a movie or something, you could do like a carpool.
So what are the environmental impacts of transport? And what types of transport are the most polluting?
Transport remains a major source of greenhouse gas emissions, air pollution and noise.
Air transport remains the most polluting type of transport together with cars.
We know there are lots of ways to travel more sustainably. So we asked the students, would they rather ride a bike, take a train or fly a plane, and why?
I would rather ride a bike because it releases out no fossil fuels. Yes, it might take longer, but riding a bike will slow down global warming, so it is good for you and the environment. My reason for choosing the bike is because even though a train is good for the environment, it still releases CO2. But not near as much as a car. A plane accounts for about 2.5% of global CO2 emissions. In 2022, aviation emissions reached almost 800 MT of CO2 for a round a trip flight from Frankfurt to New York, approximately 1,500 kg of jet fuel is burned, releasing in about 570 tons of CO2 per person.
I travel using plane.
Yeah.
Because in the future, I know there's going to be electric, so it won't really affect
me. I'd rather ride a bike because you're getting exercise and then you're also saving the planet at the same time.
Yeah, I ride a bike because, as Orla said, not only is it better for the environment, it also gives you good exercise too.
I'd ride a bike mostly because I just like cycling, and also because it's like obviously better for the environment.
I would rather take a train because bikes are very good, they don't let off any carbon emissions, but they're not very good for long journeys, while trains are, and planes you only really use if you're traveling to different countries.
If you're going to like somewhere like up to Dublin, you wouldn't want to be cycling, so I'd say like a train.
I'd ride a bike because it's could be, like you could skip traffic and it could be a bit quicker sometimes. Mm-hmm.
So do the students know how much emissions different modes of transport produce?
Immediately, air transport extremely polluting, but so are cars. Air traffic represents less than 2-3%. Global, because emissions, whereas road traffic accounts for around 10% of these direct emissions.
We asked the students next, if they have a magical eco-friendly vehicle, what would it be like?
I have like wheels of a bike, and it'd be like a car, but it doesn't release any like oil or anything.
It would probably be like, yeah, it would have like wheels of a bike, but it wouldn't be like producing like petrol or anything, just cycle it, but it kind of just like, it would be faster.
I would have a car that was run off of water, because there's loads of water in the world. So.
I'd have the magic carpet from Aladdin.
I'd love a car that would run off of like extra grass clippings that you have in your gardens now.
A car and wheels with electric, which is powered by rain. It will be made out of natural materials such as tree bark, moss and leaves.
I'd pick like a car that can go on like everything, like mountains and water and stuff, and it'd be like an electric car.
You can take a ferry instead of a plane, because mm-hmm. the journey might be longer, but it helps the planet. Mm-hmm.
So what's one small thing everyone can do to help the planet while travelling?
You see a lot of the time when people are driving, like, they just like chuck stuff out their window and then it end up on the side of the road. It's like not litter like when you're driving.
If you're going on like a long journey, try to pick like the more eco-friendly version, like instead of a car, maybe like a train or a bus.
If you are going to somewhere not too far, you could walk or cycle, because no fossil fuels will be burned. But if it is far, you could take a bus or a train.
To improve the environment, try to walk, cycle or take public transport.
Next, we asked the kids if they were the Earth and had the power to make change, what would they ask travellers to do differently?
If I was the Earth, I would ask the farmers to stop burning tyres and stop burning coal and
turf
and in people's homes, which will really help reduce global warming to help save our planet for the future of humanity.
Try to stop any non-electric cars and transportations, because it can cause natural disasters.
Yeah, just like make sure that most people use like better things for like the environment.
If I was the Earth, I would ask people to stop using gas in their homes and use like electric things that are sourced by like windmills.
Speaking about climate change leaders and those with power to make a change, next we chat to Alice Murphy from Enniscorthy. Alice is a young entrepreneur who took home the European Young Upcycler Award for her business idea, Milking It. Alice is 20 years old and her ideas explore alternative uses for milk filters from the dairy industry. We first asked Alice to tell us what gave her the idea in the first place.
So growing up on a dairy farm, I've always had an eye for what's being thrown out, and I always noticed that the milk filters were one that we just seemed to produce so much waste out of. My dad would also have looked at it and thought it was a terrible waste because they're a single-use product. They get used once and they're thrown out. And we did the maths on it, and roughly 11 million are thrown out annually in Ireland, between the 17,000 dairy farms. So there was definitely something that I really wanted to address. I had already worked with them before in Junkature during my time in Clostrobrida. I had taken part in that competition with my friends Deanna and Aria. We created a dress called Proja Putti. It was out of milk filters, and we actually made it to the national final in the RDS. So these products, the milk filters, we thought they were a huge problem, especially because they're so dirty, they're so difficult to clean with milk. It's such a dirty substance when it rots and stuff.
Alice has come up with such a creative way to reuse both milk filters and old tent material. So how did Alice decide on making things like calf blankets and insulation?
So through the process of these workshops, we were guided by Lynn Hoffman of the Upcycle Movement. And initially in our first workshop, she guided us through a number of upcycling enterprises across the world. And one that stood out to me was one in South America where they were using rice husks to create insulation. They were upcycling rice husks as insulation. And I just thought it was a really clever use of a material, and I just thought that would be a really great application for my own milk filters. Lynn Houghton, she took it a step further when I decided that I'd love to create insulation. She sent me a picture of a calf and a calf jacket. And I just thought it was a really lovely progression of the idea, a very natural progression of the idea. It was so circular, bringing the waste product back to the farm.
So what was it like presenting her idea in Estonia and meeting other young upcyclers and future leaders in climate change around Europe?
Yeah, it was really exciting. It was a really exciting process. A bit nerve-wracking, but it was really exciting. Estonia is a lovely country. It's a beautiful country with very welcoming and friendly people. And it was lovely to meet other young upcyclers from around Europe and just to see the creativity that young people bring to the scene. Like just the Irish participants who I would have went through the process with, like Tatenda, he was upcycling old denim into bags. Alanis was upcycling conference tote bags. He was rebranding them so they could be reused. And then Laura was upcycling coffee pods into beach bags. And I just thought just the creativity, it was so exciting.
Alice was a part of the Upcycle Art design camps in Enniscorthy. So we asked her what was the most exciting or surprising thing she learned during those workshops.
Well, I learned so much during the workshops. Lynn Houghton is such an expert in her field. She just knows materials so well, and she just knows their potential and what they can and can't do. So I learned so much from Lynn. And also to see the community that's already there for people who want to upcycle. Y21 Studios, where we had our workshops, Alfie and Christina's Y21 Studios, it was such a hub of creativity. It's such a hub of creativity. There was such an emphasis on learning mindfulness, community and arts. And it was so lovely to see that there's already these spaces for young people to be creative.
Finally, as a young future leader for sustainability and upcycling, we asked Alice what advice she would give to other young people who want to make a difference through upcycling or helping the environment.
I suppose I have two pieces of advice for young people who want to upcycle or help the environment. And my first piece would be to start small. And my second piece would be to talk to your grandparents, because upcycling was something that came so naturally to them years ago. Even just some examples would be like using wrapping paper or wallpaper as the cover for your school books. Or even if you think about years ago, the sliced pan wrapper often became the lunchbox for your sandwich. So I think there's a lot to be learned from previous generations.
And that's a wrap on today's show. We hope you enjoyed hearing from our amazing future climate leaders and learning all about how e-travel can help protect the planet. Remember, no matter how big or small, every action counts. And you can be a climate leader too, just by making smart choices every day. If you missed any part of today's show, don't worry. You can catch the full episode online or join the conversation on our social media channels. We'd love to hear how you're making a difference in your community. Thanks for joining us today on Southeast Radio. And don't forget, our future is bright and it's ours to protect.
Ours to protect on Southeast Radio.
Ours to Protect, brought to you by Southeast Radio, the IBI, and funded by Commissioner Naman with the television licence fee.